gather here. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to His Stories podcast and broadcast. I'm Gil Michelle. I'm here with Kevin Michelin, and we are ready and prepared to go into another powerful testimony. But before we do, let's approach the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. You said today, while it's called today, that we should give you praise and we should acknowledge you. And so we do that, Lord, through testimony today, Lord. We ask that the next few minutes that we spend with one another, Lord God, would impact the hearts and lives of many people who hear this, whether it's through the broadcast, whether it's through the podcast. And Lord, we just thank you that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Yeah. So Lord, I pray that someone who's listening to this would find themselves overcoming trials and tribulations and things in life because of a testimony that they now have. We thank you and we give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How you doing, Kevin?
You know, it's been an eventful day, to say the least.
Has it?
Yeah. It's I did a classic blunder, Kevin blunder thing, and I ran out of gas.
Oh.
But
wow.
Yeah. But other.
Well, I mean, it's never happens to anybody. I'm sure this is the first time that this has happened.
Yeah.
Well,
my walk of shame to the gasoline station. It was interesting because it's funny how a guy works. Because there was a gentleman, young man, came. He stopped and he goes, "Hey, looks like you need a ride." I go, "I do." And and so he took me to the gas station, and in the course of the conversation, then he goes, "You know," oh, I said, I'm a pastor, because we actually passed a church that I used to attend.
Okay,
and when I with pastor, I go, "I used to pastor there," and he goes, "Oh, you're a pastor," and I go, and that opened up the floodgates.
Nice, I love in a good way.
In a good way,
okay,
because that could be a bad way too.
Yeah,
for some people. But he just said, 3 years ago, I was an agnostic. I described myself as an agnostic, and he goes, "Some people just loved on me and prayed over
me."
Wow! And he said, he goes, you know, he asked me if I knew where this one church is on the south end of town. I go, "Absolutely."
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "I am now a believer in Jesus Christ."
That's
and,
awesome.
And he goes, "I felt compelled to stop and help you."
Wow.
And he goes, "When I have that call, I know I better do it."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, I'm glad." So that's
nice.
It was a God moment. I'm like, "Oh." So anyways, that's my story for the day.
Oh, that's a good.
How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm just coming off the heels of a pastoral retreat.
Yeah.
And my wife and I attended with some other pastors here in the region. And I don't know how else better to say it than it was like, imagine water being poured on a dry ground, and just we soaked up every moment. Mm. And there was no agenda, there was no teaching, there was no conferences. You know, it was like no workshops. It was just friends coming together for you know, from Sunday to Tuesday, and just enjoying each other, enjoying good food and conversation, and what's going on in your church, and praying with one another, and speaking life into each other. Mm. It was just awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it was just a great weekend. So. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's been great.
Well, with saying all that, we got a chance to talk to each other, but we have a guest with us.
Yes, we
and,
do.
And I'm really excited about having Joel with us. And I am excited about every guest, right? But Joel and I now have been able to be a part of just helping building the kingdom for the last, several years that I've known Joel.
Yeah.
But I grabbed onto his heart and his love for Jesus Christ. And so I just felt compelled to bring Joel here on the broadcast. So Joel, awesome. Joel DeMott, I am so glad that you're here.
So glad to be here. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, don't put on a cool jazz voice now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Awesome.
Joel, if you could, I think we talked a little bit prior, and one of the questions a lot of times we start out with is, how'd you come to know the Lord?
Yeah, well, you know, as I said, I don't feel like my story in that regard is just, like, super exciting. I know, I'm sure there are people that have these stories of, like, there was, like, you know, a light in the sky and, you know, and Jesus spoke to them in an audible voice and all those things. For me, I just very blessed with having the parents that I have, and from what I am told at the very young age of somewhere around, like, 3 years old, just one day I said, Mommy, how do I ask Jesus into my heart? You know, like how whatever that language is that you use as a little kid. And Mom said, "Well, Hank, we can do it right here." And so I just jumped up in her lap. We, you know, we prayed, and that was the beginning. So from a very early age, I just remember Jesus always being part of the conversation in our household, and I've been on this, gosh, crazy long faith journey ever since then.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of now with probably what 30 years of, just, you know, trying to follow after Jesus and growing and all of that stuff, but started early.
Started at three. And that definitely describes the fact that your parents seems that definitely loved.
Yes.
Yeah. Love the Lord.
Yeah. And like I come from a situation where, you know, my father did not become a believer until, till later in life into his twenties. Okay. My mom actually had a big part to do with that. They met in college. Uh-huh. Mom was that, you know, nice Christian Christian girl in the art class across the way, and Dad's like, I got to get to know this lady. So maybe, I don't know if we call it missionary dating.
Yeah, I think they call it evangelistic dating.
Evangelistic dating.
Yes.
But Dad gave his, you know, Dad gave his life to the Lord as a kind of an interesting, the way it turned out. He was a football player at the college that he was at.
Had that makes sense. He's a big guy.
Big dude.
Yeah.
And just one day in a game, got clip from behind, heard a loud, terrible loud noise.
There he goes.
Daddy didn't play football anymore. And and gosh, in just the whole midst of all those changes, gave his life to the Lord. My parents were married a few years later. Dad went from being a biology major to studying Bible at transferred colleges and all that stuff.
Wow.
And which is funny enough, I would return to that college for my first couple years. That's a whole part of my calling story and figuring that stuff out. But my mom's story is kind of that traditional, like grew up in the Christian home. My dad's story, his parents knew the Lord, but he himself had and so I, every once in a while, I just like to ask him his kind of his crazy college day stories just to give me a perspective on what could have happened to me.
Yeah.
What could have happened?
Yeah. Right, right.
So it sounds like there's a passion that you've had then most of your life to experience and know God.
Yeah. I think So for me, I think the challenge that I've always been up against or felt up against is kind of growing up in what we might call that Christian bubble or that Christian culture sort of thing.
Sure.
Where we hang out with other Christians, we kind of all use the same lingo, the same
speak Christianese,
yes. All that stuff. Yeah, and you can go a long ways in that and never really have that kind of the challenge of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you step out in what they call the real world, you know, after, I don't know, wherever it's high school or wherever it is, and you find that there are actually other people out there that do not share the beliefs that you share. Yeah. And this is a shocking
revelation.
And it's
in your face.
It is totally in your face, increasingly so.
Because you look at them, you go, God is good.
Yeah.
And you wait for them to say all the time, and they're like, what are you talking about?
What?
Yeah. Who is this you speak of?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and so that's been part of the journey for me is was sort of a wake-up call, I think, in kind of in my later teen years of, like, there are people out, like, and this sounds silly saying it out loud, but there are people out there that don't share the same beliefs, that have not had the experience with Christ that I have had, who've not, you know, this is maybe brand new to them, or, you know, and maybe they're open, or maybe they're not, maybe they're very antagonistic toward it, or they have defenses, you know, toward it. And so it just... at a certain point in my life, I just was like, I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot of growth, and there's a lot of people out there that are just, you know, my goodness, just alongside me in everyday life that need to hear about Jesus.
Now, did you yourself ever get derailed? Did you ever get challenged to the point where you started questioning your own faith?
Yeah. It's called high school. No. Well, so here, this is the thing. So I... I graduated high school with this this sense. I had a, and we can, you guys can certainly ask me all about this if you want, but I had a pretty significant experience in high school. It involves basically the choir loft of a Franciscan monastery, and yeah, I know you're dying to hear more. it's like the only, I feel like it's the only like really interesting thing that I maybe okay. can bring today. But I'll,
did it involve someone else?
So. I was in there with like 20 other young men, but kind of had a wake
my
up.
My brain just went off.
I know. Now I went left.
I've really derailed things here. Me getting derailed. So there was there was a sense in high school of kind of God calling me back, I think, reminding me of what he was doing in my heart and challenging some things. The truth is, you know, I went off to college with honestly a full expectation that I would be going to broadcast journalism of some sort. I had no intention. I thought actually I'd be doing something like this someday, you know, like no intention of going into vocational ministry or anything like that. I knew that I was people said I could write well and I could talk good. and so it was like, well, that's all I got working for me. I'm definitely not a great math student or not an engineer or anything else like this. But, you know, maybe I can talk to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but in the process, as I was doing, you know, I'm kind of figuring out, well, gosh, Lord, what's your calling for me? And I just kind of the sense of, I think, lostness in that. When I... There was a point, and this is kind of it's sort of hard to explain, where the season of doubt came to me as a probably third year Bible student or so. The greatest amount of doubt that I have ever encountered, and to try to explain where it came from or how it came to be is I can't really put my finger on it, but it was just a difficult time, and the thought processes in my mind, or like, you know, some of us may, you know, we have kind of these daily conversations with God, right? Just like in our that started to kind of, I felt that was going away, and there was this kind of this darkness and heaviness on me, and just a lot of it was just intellectual doubt. I mean, just some of that, and I think others of it was other parts of it were just this kind of. This self-sufficiency that kind of hangs out in my heart, kind of part of my story and who I am, and just kind of leaning on my own understandings on things, I think. And
well, looking back now, would you even say I'll throw this word?
Yeah,
maybe even demonic.
So, I've thought about that very question, and because. The conversations that were going on in my head were not things that I would normally think about.
Okay. Yeah. Which is why I asked. Because you said it kind of got dark. Yeah. It seemed like
there was a darkness there. Here's what got me out of it. We had close friends. We have this group of people we started house church with over 10 years ago now. And so it's us, my wife and I, and three other couples. We had close friends. They were the first ones after the house church had started to have a child. Mm-hmm. And there was just a day we went and to go visit them in the hospital after the birth, and I saw the new baby land there, and I was like, no, God's for real.
Wow!
Like this.
Yeah.
And again, that sounds to somebody that's like, okay, that's not terrible.
It doesn't sound strange to anyone who has children.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Once you see that life, oh my gosh,
it totally transforms your mind.
And there was just this sacred moment in that hospital where I'm like, no, God's for real, and I've got to, you know what? It's me. I need to press into the availability and presence of God.
Wow.
And I need to lay some things down here because I think I'm running from some stuff, and I think I'm maybe putting up some barriers and boundaries that need not be there. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the beginning of a greater focus for me in life. And quite honestly, I think if you ask people now, you'd see they would say that a lot of things changed for me, just in terms of my intentionality about a lot of other stuff, too.
Good. Yeah. Good, good. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
We're talking today with Mr. Joel DeMott, pastor extraordinaire. We're going to talk about how he actually transitioned into ministry. He kind of mentioned about starting a house church 10 years ago. But when we come back, Kevin and I will delve deeper into Joel's story, and we'll be right back right after this.
Come on back.
Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So, yep. So, Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000.
Right.
And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to HisStoriesPodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't believe there's anything too hard for God, and we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we're back with Pastor Señor Joel DeMott. And we're delving into his testimony. He's kind of been setting the stage a little bit about his teenage years, high school, college, starting house church with a group of friends. And so Joel, maybe kind of talk to us a little bit from that point after you had this sort of crisis of faith and doubt, sort of a renewing, and now you're back on track.
Yeah. So at the time, kind of in this, getting through this crisis period and all of that, like, you know, again, I've been in bivocational ministry for, you know, now a total of over, or up to this couple falls ago, up to for 10 years. And so always, you know, whether I was driving rental cars around, picking people up, or selling tile and natural stone, or
whatever you got to do. Yeah.
Always, but it was always in the local. I always had a local pastor job as well, you know, an associate or whatever. But there came a point with a group of friends where we just had this sense of just a longing for deeper community, a longing for just to kind of dive in and just be the hands and feet of Jesus. And quite honestly, without some of the, and y'all know what I mean, without some of the red tape of kind of a being in a larger organization and things like that. Now,
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, we love the local church.
Yes, we do.
But it was, I think, you know, we were all in our, you know, early to mid-20s.
So you're kind of idealistic. You want the real, where the rubber meets the road.
We're going to go and change the world, storm the gates of hell, and all those sort of things. And so, yeah, 10 years ago, we started gathering together numerous times during the week. And I should say, this was before most of us had children. So the days of being able to get together and do this kind of thing, the flexibility.
The logistics changed.
Yes,
we get together now. Yeah. There are 15 children.
Wow.
Between the ages of 12. 12 and 7 months.
Oh my gosh.
Scary time.
Baby making.
Yeah.
We know what we're good at. But we set off to be this community, and that was the formation of a group known as Exodus Community, and they've been together now. They're still meeting, still loving Jesus together, meeting in a few different homes in the greater Goshen area, actually.
That's awesome.
11 years now, which, you know, praise be to God, the average length for a house church plan is about 18 months long.
Right, yeah.
So they've gone over that hump a few times now, and I think they're in it to win it. We are still incredibly close with those people.
Good.
Love them. They've had a unique opportunity as being a house church to come around people that sometimes the larger church can miss or fall through the cracks.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's been a really interesting testimony on
that. Yeah, there's a display of love there from what I'm hearing. And that's what we're called to do, is to love.
Yep. Yep. So we started that, and that's where I got my feet wet, just in getting into the nitty-gritty of pastoral ministry. Turns out whether you've got 15 people or 1,500, all the same issues.
Yes.
People are people.
Yes.
God is God, and the intersection of those two creates a lot of just opportunity for ministry. And so that's what I was doing. That's how it started for me. We're just God kind of clarifying call for me.
Nice.
So from the house church, then you...
Yeah, so from the house church, that's when, well, the house church too went, left the house church for a little while. Like, mind you, I graduated with a Bible degree in this area in 2008 in the midst of a terrible economic downturn.
Exactly, yeah.
There was 19% unemployment.
So that degree was very valuable.
Very valuable. Super valuable. People were just running to hire me. Mm-hmm. So again, there was a time where there was a part-time pastor, young adult pastoral position that opened up in a church locally that I filled. That we stayed there for a time. It was the financial thing has always been a challenge to figure out how to support a family. And so we started having kids. And so I ended up taking a different job. We were back to the house church. And then and then we were there for quite some time. And then my opportunity is where Kevin and I connected with a church at the time that had been planted for, it was 4 years old about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was there for a couple of years. Loved that community out here in this area. And then as our family kept getting bigger, eventually it was just like, I need one job.
Mm.
I need one job. One job.
Yeah, man.
That is that I can just support a family on, yes, and that we can kind of have some stability in that regard.
And God answered that call.
Oh my goodness. Right. Oh my goodness. And it's just been a joy, a great fit for me. Just with a passion, kind of just. Everything has kind of come together in there, and
you can plug that church. It's okay.
I can. Okay. Yes. Well, so yeah. I'm glad to serve. I'm honored to serve as the pastor of youth and young adults at Clinton Frame Church in Goshen.
Nice.
So, and 155 year old community with longstanding Anabaptist roots, but just beautiful people out there, and love what we're doing. Love what we're doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Let me ask you this. You kept saying we a lot. Your wife, I assume, is the we, correct? How'd you meet her?
She's a big we.
Hey.
Yeah.
Best we I've ever
had. Oh, there we go. Okay, that's better.
Go, yeah.
Love it. Jackie and I met. We met in high school. Jackie, she's going to love that I'm telling this. Jackie was dating a close friend of mine in high school. They broke up, and Jackie came in for, she needed a prom date, and the rest is history.
You swooped in. Hey,
scandal.
So though we've been married for what will be 11 years, we've been together for over 15.
Wow.
So, okay. With a little few hiatuses on my bed during my early college days, but...
It's not you. It's me.
Yeah. Yes. You go to college. You're like, there's these other Christian girls. What am I to do? But
I keep my options open.
That's right. But in the end, she's just been an excellent partner, and quite honestly, has supported me, patronized me in a good way, through all my educational stuff and all that. So,
because it is a huge part of the ministry. If your wife is not on board,
oh my goodness,
oh my word, it's a tax for you, and it's a tax for the whole family.
Absolutely.
And it's such a strain. So.
Could not imagine life without her and the support. Absolutely.
Let me ask you this question. This is the burning question that so many people are talking about. The hot topic in ministry is, how do you minister to millennials?
Oh, right on.
And so you're a youth and young adult pastor.
That's my game.
Yeah. This is your game. This is your thing. Your zone. So how? If there's someone listening, maybe it's a person in ministry, and maybe you like, I have not figured it out. But if you have,
That's a good question for Joel, because you are a thinker. Joel is a deep thinker. Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to steal this great line, and here goes: warm is the new cool. So, if you want to minister to millennials, in a generation that is relationally, though they're connected, they are relationally disconnected. Yeah. I see millennials struggling to develop friendships that are meaningful and long lasting and Christ centered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can be a community that is warm, intergenerationally warm to them, you don't need to have the best music. You don't need to have the highest budgets, the best, you don't need to have the best location, whatever it is. If you can be warm and welcoming across all your people, and if that's a value for your community, they will come, they will listen, they will be among you. Mm-hmm. I have seen it time and time again. My challenge to churches is don't try to be the latest, greatest, this, that, or the other. Get rid of the smoke machines. Mm-hmm.
How about the lights?
Yeah, the lights are cool, right?
That spoke to a particular group of people. I'm here to tell you, it's not speaking to the millennial generation. And I'm an old millennial. I mean, now we're talking about Generation Z the next thing,
right?
Which that's a different time, different show. But it's just something. That's a key value. Is this a relational value?
Okay.
So, absolutely.
What's the disconnect? Because I'm not a millennial. I'm an X guy or whatever.
No,
I do.
Or Gen X. I don't know.
Yeah,
sure. Well, I'm going to give that to you. Absolutely. Okay. That seems reasonable.
Thank you. Do I look decrepit? I mean, is that the thing?
Lively.
You're like.
So I'm this old
give
guy.
Give you a generation I mean, X baby boomer.
Why, what happened with the disconnect? The X generation didn't do their job or what?
So I think it's an important thing to say, and maybe not Generation X per se, but millennials are they're the children of boomers.
Uh-huh.
And boomers, quite honestly, wanted... they wanted bigger and better. They were like, you know, their parents didn't have a lot. Their parents were born during, many of them during the Depression years or less economic success. They wanted bigger and better. And so they just threw a lot of opportunities and a lot of busyness at their kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Millennials.
Yeah.
You know, I hear it from youth pastors all the time. These kids are busier than they can possibly imagine, let alone trying to have space to hear from the word, you know, hear from God and develop faith. So all of that to say, I just think to get back to our roots, to get back to a certain level of simplification, for lack of a better term, that's the thing. You know, boomers wanted anything and everything for their kids, and we're kind of seeing now, I think, the results of that. And it is, there is a great ministry mission field out there for people of all ages that can just come up alongside folks, you know, a little bit younger than myself, and just and love them.
So, and that's the key of the church, anyway.
Absolutely,
as we've said before, we're called to love.
Yep.
And we can forget that. You know, the smoke and the mirrors do get in play.
But the thing is, I think, and I know we're only approaching 2 minutes to go, but what love looks like in the church 20 years ago looks a little bit different now. And so, if we don't learn how to adjust and shift what love looks like. You know, we hear about love languages all the time. And like, oh, my love language is gifts and this and that. Or I'm finding with millennials, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, they want something meaningful.
Absolutely.
And so if you don't love them in that way and give purpose behind that love, they may not even construe it as love.
Right. The millennials will frequently talk about when they're frustrations with the church, they'll frequently talk about all the things that the church is against and not too much about what the church is for. So give them a vision, give them something to put their talents, gifts, and abilities toward. Give them what I'm calling load bearing responsibility in a local community.
Good.
Make them a necessary part of what it is that what is that you're doing, where hey, by the, you know, like, this is like real stuff that you're doing. We're not just letting you play over in the corner somewhere. When we start doing that and doing it well, I think we're going to see good results from it.
Joel, tell us ways that we can contact with you if you want people to contact you. Facebook page or website or
So here's the deal. I'm just, if you go to clintonframe.org, all my like the pastoral info there is if you want to get in touch with me. I love I do for young adults. I do career coaching and kind of vocational discernment stuff. Mentoring.
Which you do a great job with sermons, by the way.
Thank you. Well,
phenomenal.
So. I'm preaching this Sunday.
There you go.
So come in. That sounds strange. But I'm actually, it's funny enough, this Sunday I'm talking about intergenerational ministry and reaching young people. So that's up on our, it'll be up on our site too. I'm going to put this out there because it's going to make me actually do something about it. You can find me at joeldemont.org. It's where I blog.
Nice.
I've been off the blogging train for a while, but by saying this, maybe I will have to get back on. I've a lot of things brewing, and it's just good for me to just to kind of share thoughts and engage with people. So, joeldemont.org is another spot. And, we'll just any help or conversation that I can be to anybody. Okay. I have a pastor's heart and just love to come up alongside folks.
Absolutely.
So.
Amen. Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Joel. Man, it's a pleasure having you here. Yeah. What, the time literally flew by. I'm not even sure what to say. But we'll put those links in the podcast page for your personal blog page and the church, the About You page there. So thank you so much for sharing your heart. Man, I see exactly why Kevin talk so well about you. So,
thank you.
Why don't we go ahead, go to the Lord again in prayer. So, Father, we just thank you for this conversation with Joel, Lord. I thank you that you grabbed hold of him at such a young age, and you've shaped him and molded him even until now. And Lord, you're not done. Lord, I pray that you would use him mightily, Lord God, and that this testimony would cause other deep thinkers out there who contemplate your goodness, your existence, and your relevance to their lives. That they would find that his testimony and his path, Lord, has even trailblazed a path for them as well. And so, Lord, we thank you. We bless this time, and we thank you for great fruit ahead.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 You make us strong. Alone with
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.